So, welcome back. You've just seen our first module. We're starting our second module. I suspect it's going to feel a little bit overwhelming after this first module. We've thrown a whole bunch of things at you at once. So now we're just going to go one by one. We still have, I guess, 4 hours before we're done. So we're going to go one by one. We're going to dissect all these things. And we're going to start off with Brian's sample application. I think that's the best way to take that tour of Azure and all these different services we talked about.
Right. Yeah. So in this session, in this module, we're basically going to talk about the sample app that I showed you earlier. We're going to show you some details of the sample app, how it actually works, a little more detail, and then I'm going to focus on three Azure services this time: Access Control, Azure Storage, and SQL Database. So. Without further ado, let's get into the Azure Chat for Java app. There we are. So as I mentioned before, this is the Azure Chat for Java app. Let me refresh. I want to see where things are. Oh yeah, okay. So the first thing I want to show you is how you actually sign in. So this is the screen. There's actually a splash screen that shows up first, but this is the next screen that you get if you've gone in there before. And you're going to be asked for your ID and password. And when you enter your ID and password, then you get in here and you can see different things. If you notice, if you recall, there was a video here earlier, that one that said it couldn't be played. It's gone now. The reason it's gone is because we have expiry in all these things. So there's every post here. When you post it, you have a choice: 1 hour, 5 hours, 1 day, or 5 days. At that point, it gets deleted. All the comments, everything, all the likes from that actual post as well are all deleted. So it deletes the actual media, comments, likes, anything, any text you related to that post as well, automatically.
Just part of the logic of the application that you designed, basically.
Yeah. Right. So it's on a timer application, and Service Bus is used to make sure that everything gets deleted properly. And if it doesn't get deleted, it runs that Service Bus transaction again later and allows you to make sure that everything gets cleaned up and deleted. So the next feature I want to show you on the app is you can actually, as I mentioned before, you can say this is a post. And, you know, people are familiar with social media. You just post something, shows up over here. I can like it. I can comment on it. I can do all kinds of things over here, and it stays related to my post. I can add a photo or video. So as I mentioned before, I showed you this earlier, I can just add a photo. Here's some peacocks that I took a post of in Las Vegas recently. It actually loads that up into Azure Storage and posts it to my feed. It also posts it to any friends I have. I can actually create friend requests over here. Looks like I have a friend request. So I can approve friend requests. My friends will see my posts. Nobody else will see my posts. And the public can't see the posts either. They have to actually be logged in to see them. I can upload photo or video. What are some of the other features I want to show you? I guess that's about it for now. But that just covers some of the key features that I'm going to show you how we actually made this work in Azure today.
There's a number of services that this application is touching, right?
Exactly. So I'll show you in this diagram here. The actual application uses several cloud services, and those are along the bottom here and in the middle. So I've got my laptop here. I type in, as you saw, I authenticate. And authenticating is done via what we call Access Control Services, which is under Active Directory in Azure. And Access Control Services actually is a jar file that runs in the Java, and it actually controls, when you saw that screen for me to log in, that's actually the Access Control Service that does that. And the options are Google, Yahoo, and Microsoft account. So I typed in, so I typed in with my Microsoft account. Once I've done that, well, that authentication, and I'll describe this a little bit in detail later, It goes to Azure Cloud Service, which is running Tomcat for my Java app server. And then the Azure SDK for Java points to blob storage for media, table storage for friend relationships and those comments and those likes as well. And then a SQL database is used for my profile data. Oh, that's one thing I forgot to show you was the profile. But there's a profile there. It's just basic, you know, first name, last name, your avatar that you want to put in there and a few other things. Let me show you that actually before I forget. So here's me. Here's my profile. Pretty simple, basic stuff. And when I can change the avatar, I can change all that stuff. Pretty basic profile information. This information is stored in SQL Azure. So that's the app in a nutshell. Let's drill down into some of the other things we've got. So the actual UI uses Bootstrap jQuery. It calls JSPs, and it accesses the Azure services via SDKs. So these are all the SDKs that we use for the Java, for the actual AzChat app. I call it AzChat or Azure Chat for Java. I'll be using both terms today. So access control, Azure storage, media services, SQL DB, table service, and service bus. So those are the things we use. I'll show you how we use each one. Some of the things we're looking into using it, it's on GitHub if anyone wants to help us out with this. You're welcome. Service runtime, service management, just to set things up and configure them. Document DB is a backend versus storage, something like that we were looking at, or tables. Twilio and SendGrid, we're looking to do some SMS notifications of new posts to your friends, or you know, SendGrid to send an email as well, just like a lot of social media apps that you're familiar with.
So I think this application is going to play a great role of sort of a being the reference tutorial for a lot of a lot of you guys, if you want to basically figure out, how do I call a blob service, or how do I store stuff in media, you can just look it up how this sample application did it, since it covers so much surface. You should be able to see how it's done. So that's the main goal of this application, really, not just to demo it here, but to make it available to everybody as a sort of a reference.
Exactly. That's actually one of the things. So as I mentioned before, we had, you know, we get feedback from Java developers and they say, okay, so the Hello World app works. I have no clue how to write to blob storage and then retrieve that. You know, for example, when you saw me post that picture, it's writing to blob storage. It's storing that actual picture. And then it's refreshing the screen. It's actually going and retrieving all the likes and friends and everything and refreshing the feed that you see there and displaying it to me and displaying it to my friends. So all that, how do I actually interact with a Java service or an Azure service using Java is the question. And the answer is this application does that for you, and it's all available in open source in GitHub, and you can download it and play around with it. Try it out, see how things work, trace through the code, and you'll be able to basically see how that works. So in this module, I'm going to cover the access control, storage, SQL DB, and table service for you. So access control. As I mentioned, I showed you the access control already. That's just basically authentication. And this is how the actual authentication works. So the computer itself goes into the main screen there. That screen is generated by the Azure Access Control Service. And I'll show you how I actually set that up so the screen is displayed with all the options you want for login in a couple of minutes. It actually authenticates with Microsoft's account authentication service and sends me back a token. That token itself is then used to authenticate me with an application. In this case, we're using an X509 certificate from the Tomcat server itself that we created as part of our access control service. So the access control service, when you register it on Azure, allows you to take a token from there, put it in your Tomcat server, and then from there you can say anybody who authenticates using their live ID, their Microsoft account, with that token is allowed to access my Azure Cloud Service. And then inside that Azure Cloud Service, we have our app server and SDK for Java, which accesses all the services. And actually, the Azure SDK for Java has its own authentication methods, depending on which service you're using. So for blobs, there's a primary access key you use. For SQL database, there is a JDBC authentication key you use, all kinds of things built into the security of the application itself. So no one can go into my storage and play around with it because they don't have the right access keys that I've actually set up in Tomcat to use. I'll show you how we set that up.
I think one of the interesting things to point out about the ACS, the authentication service, is that the tooling that we have for Java developers actually automates a lot of that for you. So it's not just a question of taking advantage of that service in Azure, but also using this special filter. It's a filter technology that basically gets installed in your Tomcat or your Jetty, which does the handling of these requests automatically for you and the redirection of those requests. So you actually, as you will see in our example, you do not actually have to write authentication code yourself. Mm-hmm. You simply install this filter, and the filter does all the heavy lifting of accepting a request, checking if it's already authenticated, if it's not, redirecting it to Azure control services, waiting for the redirection to come back, and then once it's authenticated, only then is that web request going through the filter, and you know, your application is becoming aware of it. Everything happening before then, your application is completely oblivious to it, and you don't have to worry about writing code for it. So the authentication is taken care of for you. All you have to deal with is the authorization part. So once the user has gone through the authentication, your application can tell who the user is, and then based on that, you basically provide to the user whatever resources you want to provide. But that's really the cool thing about that particular piece of functionality.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, basically, the access control service, as Martin said, it manages your identity providers. It provides tokens for you using SAML, and it actually you can actually access multiple applications using ACS as well. You have an X509 certificate for each application that you want to use. So you could actually have granular security built into this ACS filter as well. So just because somebody is authenticated and they're on your server doesn't mean they can access all your services. You can actually control that from the back end as well. So there's a lot of cool stuff there. Let me show you a little bit about the access control service itself. I'll show you this screen first, which is how access control works in the sample application. So in the index.jsp, which is our JSP file that's right up on top, there's a link there, aschatweblogin.htm. If you look in the GitHub project for this, you will not find login.htm anywhere, or login.jsp, or anything like that. The reason for that is that's all created by the ACS filter. So when you actually click on login.htm, the ACS filter knows, it's looking for me right now, and it's going to pop up that login screen that you saw where it asked me to log in with my live ID. That then actually processes through Microsoft in the Azure Active Directory Access Control namespaces, relying party applications, and I'll show you that in a second, there's a return URL. That return URL is where you're actually asking the ACS filter to pass you back once you've been authenticated. So, for example, I didn't show it today just in the interest of time, but I have two-factor authentication set up on my live account, on my Microsoft account. So when I actually go in and log in, it asks me for my password, and then I hit enter, and it actually texts me a code that I need to use for two-factor authentication. I don't have to code any of that. That's not controlled at all. I don't know anything about that. I just say, okay, ACS filter, when you're done, send me back to this URL in the relying party application. And then to set up my my namespaces and actually who I want to access, those are literally checkboxes in your application itself. So let me go into the actual portal again. So this is the portal we have here. This is the cloud services we have. If I go down here.
And this is in your subscription, basically.
Yes, this is just my subscription that I use every day. If I click on Active Directory in the portal, and I click on Access Control Namespaces, this is the actual namespace that I've created. If I want to manage that namespace. I click here, and I mentioned the Relying Party applications. Thank you. Basically, I've got one Relying Party application. I could have multiples here. And this one is Azure Chat for Java. And as I mentioned, I create a display name for the Relying Party application. I create a realm for it, which is actually just my cloud service. I create a return URL. So when ACS filter has authenticated me, where does it want to send me? And then the error URL, in case there's an error with authentication. I've got SAML options. These are the identity providers that I want to create. In this case, Windows Live ID and Yahoo. I think it was actually, if you have a open ID that you created before October 2014, you can use it on Google as well. Any new open IDs that you've created can't be used with Google. So unfortunately, I can't use Google for this particular application. It has to be Live ID or Yahoo. I guess they're looking at, this is pure speculation, this is not official, but they are looking at actually opening that up again so we can use that with applications. But anyway, neither here nor there. X509 certificate. So I import an X509 certificate in here so that ACS filter knows how to authenticate with my Tomcat server. So this is just one Relying Party application. If I had more than one Relying Party application, I could create those here as well. And that means that I could have multiple Tomcat servers. One could authenticate me using this method. Another one could be completely open. Another one could have a different method for administrators to access my application to do things that normal users don't do. Things like that. So there's some granular security that you can build in. But basically, the idea here is there's a lot of code. The burden of a lot of code has been removed by using an ACS filter, and it just makes it a lot easier to run the application itself. So that's how access control works in a nutshell with the ACS filter. Azure Storage and Tables. So what do we do with Azure Storage and Tables? As I mentioned before, I'll go back into the app here. So the relationships are managed through Azure Storage. Inside Azure Storage, we have some Azure Tables, which are the schemaless table storage that we use for things like when I like something or when I add a comment. These are all stored in Azure Storage, and they're stored in tables. And let me just show you. For those of you who don't know about this, it's a very useful tool, Azure Storage Explorer. Is if you just search Azure Storage Explorer, it's a free download. And what this allows you to do is actually look at your applications itself. It actually allows you to drill down into storage to see what's happening there. So here's something interesting. So I've got an Eclipse deployment, which actually is just some things I use for storage here. Photos. So I've got one photo in there right now. And it's 8.81 megabytes. This is a temp folder. The temp folder is used for videos, and I'll show you how that works in the next module when we talk about media services. And then the user profile pictures. I actually have two user profile pictures in here. So I mentioned tables. So friend request. Julian sent me a friend request a little while ago, you can see his actual friend request here. It keeps track of things. Then we have message comments. So these are the comments. As you can see here, I typed comment. I actually typed the word comment. Down here, I typed the word hey. These are the actual comments that I've entered so far. And these, by the way, will disappear with expiry. And I'll explain how the expiry works with Service Bus in the next module. Any likes I have, there's a couple of likes that I've already clicked on here. And then there's some user messages, which are basically, the user messages is used to help manage expiry and a few other things. Basically just a way of keeping track of those. So that in a nutshell is how the storage works. Now if I go in and I add another picture here, let's see, go back to the home. Well, if I update this actually, how do they actually get back to the home from here? There we go. Yeah. The UI is not working as well as I'd hoped. Hold on a second. We'll just go straight back in here. There we go. All right, so I had another photo post. Let's add a picture from a recent flight. This is Red Rock Canyon over Las Vegas. So just post the picture. Takes a second because I've got my cheap server set up. And when I go in here to photos, you'll see two photos in there. So that's the one I just added. You know, it's just a way of quickly looking at these. So that's exactly what happened. So what happened here? Let's go into the slides and I'll show you exactly what happened here. So we had authentication, as we've already covered. And then that accesses the cloud service itself. The cloud service then, through some security, accesses blob storage, table storage, and the SQL database for my profile as well. And let me show you a little bit about the storage concepts. So in blob storage, I just showed you through the Storage Explorer how this works. You've got an account. That account is the top level of your storage. It's basically your storage when you drill down in the...
It's a service for that particular, yeah. It's a particular storage service that you're setting up within your own subscription, basically. Yeah. That's what it comes down to.
Exactly. And then you've got the container. The container actually is the thing that contains all of your images, videos, things like that. And I've got this set up so it has one for videos and one for images. And then inside that, inside each container, we have pics, we have videos. There are page blobs and block blobs. And I won't get into the details of how those work, but basically we're using block blobs.
Yeah, but for most intents and purposes, that level of detail is not really all that interesting for your application. Where it stops is really the blob level, where you understand a blob corresponds to a file, basically speaking.
Yeah, exactly. So the first thing we did is we created an Azure storage account. So let me go into the portal again. If I go back up to the top here, storage. So I created one called Azure Chat for Storage. And basically, this is just a storage account that allows me to store things. I can configure this. And if I want to communicate with the server, in this case, the Tomcat server, I go down here and I press the Manage Access Keys button. I won't do it right now because that'll show the access keys that we have. And I guess someone could type them in. It'd be a lot of work. But there's access keys that you've got that you access things. One important thing about storage that I want to show you here, locally redundant, geo-redundant, and read access geo-redundant. This is an interesting point to make up at this point. When you create a storage account, it can be locally redundant, which means within the same region, it's going to create several instances of this. So if one of the servers that we have in our Azure region, in our Azure data center, crashes or burns or whatever happens to that actual data center, if it's locally redundant, you've got it on multiple servers. Geo-redundant means you can actually have it in multiple regions in multiple servers. And then there's read access geo-redundant, which is used for archiving and a few other things. But the idea here is you've got a lot of different options for scalability and for storage safety as well. So you've got protection there. So I create a name region. Specify what kind of replication I want, you know, then you create the storage, you manage, set up your access keys, and then I update the Azure Chat resources properties file. This is what you put in there. You put in the account name, you put in the account key for manage access keys, and you choose your default endpoint protocol, which is almost always HTTP. Here's some code.
Code.
Fine. Yeah. Yay, we got code.
The moment we've been waiting for.
So this is an Eclipse project. I'll show you a little bit about that as we go through this. But I've cut and pasted some of the code in here. We're actually using Spring Framework for building this code. There's lots of controllers. There's data access objects. I find that my personal experience is Spring Framework makes it really easy to read code, but it makes it really hard to find code. But that's my own little nitpick about that. But I do like using the Spring Framework. But anyway, so what I've done is I've cut and pasted some applicable code into the slides so you can read it here. So basically, this code is used in one of the classes we have, and it's in the data access objects area. And basically, it just saves the photo for you. You create an input stream. You point to the blob using the blob URL. The input stream itself allows you to you get the containers. So I mentioned before we have containers. So go grab the container, and then inside that container, create a block blob that stores this particular photo using an input stream. So it actually streams the bytes into that block blob. And when it's all done, get me a URI pointing to that actual blob, to that actual photo, and return the blob URI back out, or blob URL back out to the application. And there's a couple of log things in there that tell it where, you know, that in case you need to debug it, tell it that actually what happened.
Yeah. And this is an example of the Azure SDK for Java. So these are classes and APIs that come from that SDK that we mentioned earlier, and there's, you know, many more, but this is basically your first look at the storage APIs and the storage SDK part of the Azure SDK.
Right, right. Now, you know, we have other examples. When you look at Azure documentation, if you just search Azure Blob Write, you're going to find the Azure Blob Write Java. If you put that in your favorite search engine, you'll find all kinds of examples, but they're really short, and they don't really talk about how you actually work with the code in a working application. So the idea here is, if you look for this, if you look for the Save Photo class inside the Eclipse project that we have, you'll find all the code here, and also you'll find the code that after this photo is uploaded, then refreshes the feed that you see on the right, which displays the photo to you and your friends. So, as I mentioned, friends, the other thing that we have is if you want to write to storage, in this case, we use the tables instead of storage. Now, tables are a service inside of storage, as you saw when I showed you the Storage Explorer there. But basically, there's a different way to call them. So you create a table entity. In that case, you want to do an insert or replace table entity. An insert or replace is basically just a class that allows you to not only create the new object, but it'll replace the object if the object's not there. And then after you're done, you get a reference back to that table. And you get a reference back to the table. You execute the table operation, which the table operation is basically just insert or replace, and that updates the storage. Did you have anything to add there, Martin? Okay. The next thing we do is Azure SQL Database. So Azure SQL Database, as I showed you, it sets up the profile information there and writes it to a SQL database. Let's go back out there. Pretty straightforward stuff. When I click on Brian, shows me my information. If I hit update, it's basically going to go up there and save that information. It says user profile updated successfully. So how you actually interact with that, let me go back here. So in this case, I set up a SQL DB. Oh, what happened? There we go. And I only have one database set up here. And this database basically is just writing a little bit. It just stores profiles, pretty straightforward writes.
So there's a database as a service, SQL database as a service,
yes,
on Azure.
Yeah.
That's another of those big services that, yeah, Azure offers.
And if I go into configure here, there's a lot of things. Georeplication, once again, I can actually create georeplication for this. And it is really scalable as well through some very simple applications. In this case, I've just got a basic, well, actually a standard tier, and you can set up a performance level, and you can set up a max size and a few other things through scaling there. So how did I actually go about setting this up? So the SQL for profile data, pretty straightforward. I use JDBC through Java.
So there's a JDBC
this
driver from Microsoft, yes, that's there's a recently released version, new version that's been around for a while. So that's basically, so you're going through JDBC.
Yeah, so we're using JDBC to actually access this through Tomcat. So once again, we authenticate, we use the Azure Cloud Service, on our Java app server, which is Tomcat, and we access the SDK for Java. We actually access the JDBC part of that that allows you to access the SQL database. So if you go into the Azure Manageable Portal, you create the new database, and then you take the login name and password, and you actually create a JDBC connection string with that. And let me go back to this for a second. And I think if I go down here, show connection strings, so it actually creates the connection strings for you right here, and you can use that to access your SQL database. I probably shouldn't have shown that because people could copy it. But anyway, please don't copy it. I'll change it later today. and then you go back into your application. You update your AzChat resources properties. You create the DB username, password, name, URL, host name and certificate, your login timeout, your encryption. And then the actual server drive that you use is a SQL Server driver that you can download from Azure. And in this case, we include it in the jar file in the application. So the code that writes to the SQL DB, profile info. So in this case, the SQL DB itself, you just create a connection using the JDBC string connection that you've already created.
It's a familiar pattern to all the Java developers out there. This is just JDBC programming, really. Yep. Nothing Azure specific about it, really, all that much.
Yeah, and then we've got this is a constant. So if you go into our constants in the project, you'll see that it's an insert command for SQL, T-SQL. And then you just execute the update and updates the code. That's pretty straightforward stuff. So that is, in a nutshell, what we've got. I'm going to take this opportunity actually to show you the application itself. Let's go into Eclipse. So this is the AzChat web application. It's a Maven application, which means that a lot of the code is referenced through Maven. So if I look in my libraries here, I've already run Maven on this to load all the resources that I needed. There's a number of resources here, including all the Azure jars that we've imported into this project. We also have several, Apache Commons, some HTTP clients.
Do you want to just show how you imported the through the BuildPath API, the BuildPath UI in Eclipse, if you want to show how to actually get to all those SDKs, because they come as part of the Azure toolkit for Eclipse. So if you just go to your build path, you're going to see Azure SDK library. You're going to see all these libraries basically there.
And Java build path. Right. So,
go to add library button right there.
So add library. Yeah.
So you're going to see these libraries packaged into these nicer packages. But you add references to the ones that you need. So there is the Azure libraries, the package for Microsoft Azure libraries for Java. So that's basically the Azure SDK for Java. There's the Apache Cupid client libraries, which is for AMQP primarily for working with Azure Service Bus. There is the Microsoft JDBC driver. That's another one that's part of the toolkit. The access control filter at the top there, which is another thing that you've added there.
That's the ACS filter we've been talking about.
And recently we're also, I'm not seeing the App Insights, but App Insights is actually part of the Azure SDK. So,
right. Yep.
So those are your primarily primary entry points for adding references to all these Azure SDKs.
Right. So you see the package for Microsoft Azure Libraries for Java. That actually includes the Azure SDK and App Insights included with it as well. So that's the build path for that. And this is the source code over here. So the source code itself, source main resources. Whoops, no, that's not it. Sorry, we're in Java resources still. There we go. Source main Java com Microsoft Technologies AzChat web. So we've got common controllers. So data access objects is mostly in there. So you can see there's a number of objects here for implementing friend requests, messages, preferences, profile images, the user data access objects. We've got a number of controllers, and the controllers themselves are what work with the JSP page to manage the application logic. Several common files here, general exceptions and utilities for updating the chats and displaying things in the feed. The media services we're going to cover in the next module, which is basically covering all the media services management and encoding and things like that. And we got several other base services, friend requests, login, something the service bus will be covering later, and timer tasks is what we use for expiry and things like that. So the source code's in there. We also have the resources here. These are the properties files that I was talking about earlier. And if you go into web app, webinf, this is an XML file where you actually update your relying party applications for the security that you've set up through the ACS filter. So there's only a couple places. You download this application. If you follow the steps in the README and GitHub, you'll be able to implement the services you need and get the keys that you need to update the properties files in the web.xml. It typically would take probably a few hours if you're already familiar with Java, of course, and Eclipse and plugins and stuff like that to actually implement this and have an up and running app servers. So. So that's all we had for this module. We're ending a little early. Didn't really have anything else. Let me just look at Q&A here. So if anyone has any questions, let's see. Will Azure Chat for Java sample always also be published into Azure SDK for Java samples area? Good question. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that's going to happen. I mean, right now it's just on GitHub.
We can look into it. Yeah. And just figure out if that helps.
It's probably a link to GitHub is what it would be.
Actually, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I'm actually going to be posting a number of blogs on the Azure blog about this. Those are planned after this MBA course, and I'll be referring to this MBA course from the blogs to show people how to set things up. But I'll be going into more detail. So if there's anything you need to know about that, please do ping me. I should mention that I'm BBenz on the Twitter machine, so you can contact me there, BBENZ, and that's it. Thanks.
10 minutes.
Okay.
Can you tell them we're taking a 10-minute break?
Yeah, sorry. We're taking a 10-minute break, and we'll come back shortly. Thanks.